Oh boy, today we are, we're celebrating. Most of us are. God is really good. God is here, and this is good. I heard a speaker at a conference recently, and he talked about it. He talked about how you can walk into certain churches, and you can just tell, they've got it. You can walk in and you feel it. It isn't necessarily a big building or a huge staff. It's not even a whole bunch of people coming to worship. You can have the best laid plans and still not end up with it. And on the other hand, you can make a whole bunch of mistakes and stumble along with goofy steps and somehow find that you've got it. You could almost say that it happens. Think about it for a second. It's going to grow on you. I've heard so many people talk about that feeling when they come in here, in a school cafeteria and a gym back there. Of all places, I mean, literally, I've had dozens and dozens of people talk about when they walk in here, you can just feel it. There's a feeling of excitement and joy, purpose, welcome. I'm not sure why, and I don't know exactly how, but we've got it, and I love it. Somehow we've managed to create a place where people experience the presence of Jesus, the embrace of the people of God, and a purpose for life as a follower of Christ. So today, I just want to remind you why we're here. In fact, this week and the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about basically that question. We're going to be dwelling in our vision for a couple of weeks and just spending some time thinking about what are we doing here. Before I jump into that, just a quick history lesson for some of you who haven't been around here for a long time. 16 years ago, some visionary members of our church got together on a strategic planning committee and had the hunch that God wanted to do something through our church in Southwest Champaign. They didn't know what or how or when, but they knew God was up to something. And they led the church to buy 60 acres of land out here in a largely undeveloped area surrounded by cornfields. That 60 acres, they sold half of it to the school district. And we are now sitting on that land. We still own the other 30 acres, and it's right on the other side of that wall full of corn. The harvest is just about ripe. Well, several years after that, they assembled another strategic planning committee, and then a few years later, another one, and just for good measure, another one a few years later. Each of them came up with great plans. But 14 and a half years after that first nudging of the Holy Spirit, we still weren't sure how to act on what God was leading us to do. We couldn't get past questions about a building. Should we move the whole church out there? Should we just build a family life center? What should we build? And the pieces never came together until a remarkable moment of insight. Whatever else Rebecca Motley's job title says at our church, her title ought to say, Idea Master, because every good idea seems to start with her. Rebecca realized the building wasn't the point, kind of like Jeff said, and the building didn't need to be the problem. Why don't we just start in Barksdall, she suggested, and 14 and a half years of being stuck melted away. From that moment on, God has been leading us on a wild ride. Plans were developed. Teams of volunteers were recruited. People willing to pour in huge chunks of time and effort. And the details just started to click. We raised $500,000 in advance to pay for the first 2.5 years or so. We took it to a vote to the congregation to see if we should do this at all, and we got an overwhelming yes vote. Even the process of hiring a young whippersnapper pastor to lead this thing, normally that process takes 12 to 18 months in our bureaucratic denomination. It took 4 months. I would suggest you guys should have checked into my background a little more, though. So a year ago, this very week, we started the launch. We had 22 families that signed on the line and said, we will give it a year. 22 families. From that to this, in a year. God has been at work. God has had a plan for us. And you know what? We're just trying to keep up, to be perfectly honest. I believe with all my heart that because of our faithfulness in trying to follow God's leading, God is blessing us. And that's why when you walk in here on a Sunday morning, you feel it. Now, we're kind of dancing around the point because the question this morning is, why are we here? What is it God has called us to do? And this is a really critical question because the one thing we're sure of is that business as usual for the church just won't cut it. In fact, we're discovering that we are on a journey that churches all across the globe actually are being caught up in this new and emerging vision for what church is supposed to be. And that emerging vision starts with the sometimes painful realization that we've kind of missed it. So I want to show you a short movie clip. In this clip, you're going to see a character named Jason Bourne aboard a fishing boat. Jason Bourne is an assassin for the CIA, but on his last mission, he gets shot in the back and left for dead, floating in the water. A fishing crew finds him and rescues him, nurses him back to health. But there's one problem. He can't remember who he is. The church in North America is suffering from missional amnesia. We don't know who we are. We've forgotten why we're here. We can't remember our mission, and we're scared. What if it doesn't come back? What if we can't recover? Missional amnesia. This new and growing movement in the church, this movement of identity recovery, it's often described with the word missional, the missional church. If you do a Google search on the word missional, it shows 1,510,000 results, which is up from only 500,000 4 months ago. It's funny because missional is not even a real word. It was coined about 10 years ago. But there is a veritable explosion of interest in what it means to be missional. And I'm absolutely convinced that the reason is we're desperately trying to figure out who we are. We know that we can't remember. We know there's something more. We know that what we've been doing for decades and centuries, it's just not quite right for our time and our place. There must be something more, and we've got to find it. So we're here in Southwest Champaign at Barksdale School trying to figure it out. In our biblical text this morning, you heard the prayer of Jesus where he says that just as God sent him into the world, so he sends us. Here's how that's translated in the Message. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. Our quest is to rediscover our mission. And if we are sent in the same way that Jesus was sent, maybe we need to ask the question, how was Jesus sent? What was Jesus' missional identity? In John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you read that again in the Message, this is what it says. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. There's a guy named Andrew Hamilton. He goes by the nickname Hammo. And Hammo used to be the pastor of a large and successful church in Australia. His church had a history of planting other churches around their region of Australia. And Hammo had this growing conviction that God was leading them to plant a new campus in this sprawling suburban area a few hours away from their church. After a couple of months of praying about this and trying to figure out how God was going to have them do this, Hammo realized that God's plan was to send him. He goes and he shares that with some of his friends, shares this idea, and to his shock, five families that he shares it with have the exact same thought. And so the whole group of them sell their homes, relocate to a new community, find new jobs so that they can move into the neighborhood. There's a group of people who have found their identity as the sent ones of Jesus Christ. Just this last week, I talked with a guy on the phone. He used to be a junior high and college pastor together at a church. His junior high youth group had 150 kids in it. His college group had over 100 kids in it. I mean, this guy was successful at what he did. But he couldn't escape the feeling that God had something more. He shared it with a group of friends. And what do you know? They had the same feeling. And so four couples sold their homes and moved into the neighborhood. They literally moved into a tough urban area plagued with gang violence and drug issues. They moved there to be the presence of Christ for people who needed it. They went as the sent ones of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. I hear stories like that, and I can't get my head around it. Relocating, not because of a job or to be close to family, relocating because of the mission of God. The fact that that is so far out of my framework, it just shows the degree to which I've lost sight of my sentness. Do we really believe it when Jesus says, as the Father sends me, so I send you? You know what? We are here in Southwest Champaign as a living embodiment of our sentness. We're here to be the presence of Christ in the neighborhood. And we're here to take Jesus seriously and to send one another out to be Christ in the world. Andrew Hamilton, Hammo, his blog is called Backyard Missionary. That's our identity. That's our sentness. When Jesus says you are sent, it means that in every context of your life, every part of your life, you go as a sent one of Jesus. Now that may or may not mean moving to a whole new place, but I pray that God gives us an expectation of sentness that results in people doing things like that. But you already live in the neighborhood. God has already planted you in the mission field. Where you live there as a sent one of Jesus. Where you work, your employees, your coworkers, you work with them as a sent one of Jesus. Where you socialize, as you party and play, you play and enjoy life as a sent one of Jesus. That's what it means to be missional. That's our identity. We're sent. We're sent to offer life. Life that matters. Life that lasts. How do we do that? We're going to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. Today, it's enough to say we need to discover our sentness. Now, I want to acknowledge something. This is a big shift. we're so very used to, and truthfully, we're really quite comfortable with, a church that exists for the sake of itself. We've grown up in a church that focuses on us, that tries to create programs that meet the needs of its members. If we're honest, we're deeply attached to the church that serves us. We are increasingly sure that God is calling us to something more, that our identity is not that. God is calling us to rediscover who He made us to be. He's inviting us to rediscover our true identity and to find our real mission. Let's be honest, it's scary. It's dreadfully scary because it means that everything might change. It's scary because we don't know what it's going to look like. It's scary because we are launching into this missional adventure and we don't even know how to do it. Maybe it feels a little bit like this.